You're with us as we check in with an elementary school principal reopening in the face of the pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nationwide, millions of children may need to learn remotely when classes restart this fall. Education leaders, they face a daunting task of delivering education with no end in sight to the pandemic. And for some schools on a year-round schedule, class is in session, in person. Should classrooms reopen this fall? Has your district made a decision on how it will deliver the curriculum? What do you want to know from a school with in-person classes underway? We're at 800-642-1234. Nikki Pope is principal of Lemon Weir Elementary School in Toma. It runs on a year-round schedule, reopened last Wednesday. Nikki, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, good morning.
All right, so now that students and teachers are back in school, how are they feeling about being back in the classroom?
Well, our students are certainly excited. You can definitely tell that they've missed the interaction with peers and especially the teaching staff. You know, my staff is equally as excited. They're anxious. You know, everyone's watching. Everyone's anticipating what could happen and how they should move forward. But they're very happy to be here.
How are you approaching mask wearing?
So our district has taken the stance with both children and staff that it is highly recommended. But we are not requiring them to wear a mask at this time.
And so when you go class to class and pop your head in, how many children might be wearing masks?
When I've been looking, I would anticipate on an average class, there's probably about 20%. So throughout the building, that seems to be what I'm seeing. You know, as their friends are wearing masks, more students are asking to wear masks. So if they're asking, we do have a supply here that we are providing one for them. But that was when coming in the first few days, that was about 20% of the students.
Nikki, take us through the steps to reopening the classrooms and to reopening your school. How did you prepare for Wednesday?
Well, you know, our first preparation was really to make sure that that's what our families and our community was looking for. We wanted to have a really good pulse on being responsive to what our families wanted. So I surveyed our families and asked if they had a preference as far as a face-to-face option or if they wanted the virtual option. And the initial survey that went out was around 82% of our families wanted their students in the building. When it came down to it, it was closer to 90% of them that ended up sending their students back. So that was the first step, was to make sure we were not speaking for our families and we were listening to what they wanted. From there, we really just tried to develop the best system to keep our students socially distanced as much as possible. We knew that within transportation and a classroom, that wasn't going to be very feasible to expect 6 feet apart at all times. So we created a cohort type of model where our students that are in the classroom are really around those students throughout the day. They're not intermingling with grade level peers or different classrooms. So that means that they're eating their lunch within the classroom. And then when they go outside for recess, they are staying with that same group the entire time. Our specials, art, music, FIAD, they're delivering that instruction in the classroom to those students.
And so the teachers would rotate out for those specials, but the students would stay together throughout the day?
Correct.
Are classroom sizes smaller, or did you keep those about the same?
Well, we started with keeping them about the same, just to see how many were going virtual or in person. So they're slightly smaller because of those that have opted to go a virtual option. I do have a third grade classroom that would have typically had 27 students in each section, and we did break that into a third section with an additional teacher, so it was more manageable. But overall, the classroom sizes vary anywhere between 14 to 17 students.
And I understand about 24 families have opted to continue with virtual learning. How are you approaching that?
So we are still in the process of determining what that is going to look like exactly. Those students that have opted to go that route will be on a traditional calendar schedule, which won't start until September 1st with the rest of the district. So We are using a platform through our VA, Rural Virtual Academy, that we're going to use. And we will be looking to hire a teacher that will deliver that instruction with the students. So it's going to be, the expectation will be that they participate in the morning with their music and, or excuse me, with their math and reading like they would with typical instruction. They would have a break during a lunch recess period. And then the afternoon time would consist of social studies or science or an elective that they would of their choosing.
How are you approaching the cleaning of classrooms and the environment of keeping the spaces as germ-free as possible?
Sure. So our normal cleaning procedures each night, I've learned more about what disinfecting and sanitizing means than I ever thought I would. So the normal cleaning procedure in the evening is for them to disinfect. Our custodial staff go through and disinfect the room using the same supplies they have for years. The cleaning throughout the day, we're providing soap and water for staff just to wash down after the meal times in those hot spots. We also have some peroxide wipes and Clorox wipes that they're able to use during those times. And for this period right now, we do have a custodian that is on staff during the day that is going through and wiping down doors, wiping down the bathrooms and cleaning them on a more regular schedule.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Nikki Pope, principal of Lemon Weir Elementary School in Toma. The school reopened last week, and you can join in with your questions. How comfortable are you with sending your child back to school this fall? What concerns do you have? Are you planning on sending them to a school in a mask? Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Nikki, I'm wondering how the teachers are doing, because we're hearing how teachers' unions are pushing back to have schools go virtual this fall. Are you getting pressure from your union to do remote learning instead?
I'm one of our union presidents. We have co-presidents, and she happens to be a first-grade teacher within my building. And we also have another union member that is a teacher here as well. You know, they really just want to do what's best for students, and we believe that having them in a brick-and-mortar setting and teaching them is what is in their best interest. So we're taking in staff concerns. Of course, they have their own concerns when it comes to, you know, either passing the virus or contracting the virus. So we're listening to their concerns, and we're trying to adjust practices and be responsive to what they're asking us to do.
Before you have kids enter the building, are temperatures taken? How do you approach that each day with the health of the student?
We are not taking temperatures when they come in. There was a lot of conversation that took place in regards to that, and just the best practice or use of using the temperatures. So right now, if a student is displaying that they're not feeling well in the classroom, or they're saying that they have a headache, or a teacher just notices that they're not acting themselves, or handling it like we typically would have, we're sending them to the office. The office will take the temperature at that time. If they have a temperature, we're putting them in a location, asking them to wear a mask at that time, and contacting their parents to let them move forward.
Has that happened yet since you reopened last Wednesday?
We've had several staff that just out of precaution, you know, a student is coughing or saying they're not feeling well, I have sent them to the office. Those students that, you know, did not have a fever, we did let the parents know just so they could stay or make a decision based on their end. But we, as far as having a fever, we haven't experienced that yet.
You know, your district covers hundreds of miles. The district says, as far as bus transportation, that it's really not possible for only one child to sit in a seat on a school bus. How are you managing transportation?
So that was one of the messages we sent to our families, was that if they wanted their child to participate in our transportation system, that we were not going to be able to socially distance them. And that was their choice if they were participating with that. So what we have done is we've created assigned seating for the students. We have determined that based on when they get dropped off in the morning and the afternoon routes, so they're not passing other students when they're getting off the bus, And we're keeping families together as well. So siblings are sitting in the same seats. If there is room to spread out, we are obviously trying to do that. And we are encouraging masks. So when they get on, we're asking them if they have a mask or if they need their mask. And we've also, we used to have a shuttle point in the middle of our town where the middle school is, where we would transfer students to that location and they would then get out and go into a different bus that was a little bit easier for routing. And we have changed that routing system where the students that get on the bus will stay on that bus all the way home. So logistically, it's caused a little bit more for us to figure out timing and how long it's going to take. And obviously, our routes are a little longer to try to minimize their exposure to other students.
Joe and Madison called in, couldn't stay with us, but was wondering if you were testing your teachers and staff for the virus.
We are not. We are not testing them. If they choose to get tested, that is fine. You know, one of the comments that we've had back with staff in regards to that is the test is as good as that day. So had I required them to be tested prior to coming in, you know, and 2 days passed, we wouldn't know that it was still as valid as when they were tested. So we are not requiring them to test right now.
We're talking with Nikki Pope, principal of Lemon Weir Elementary School in Toma. The school runs on a year-round schedule, and it reopened for classroom instruction last week. Parents and caregivers, do you feel comfortable sending your child back to the classroom? What concerns do you have? Teachers, let's hear from you. What grade do you teach? What are your thoughts on returning to the classroom amid COVID? Join in at 800-642-1234. We will be back in a minute with Nikki Pope right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the effort to re-enter school buildings and what it's like to be a school with in-person classes underway. Experts warn of the learning loss, the so-called COVID slide, and that the most vulnerable students will be left behind. We have Principal Nikki Pope, who is with us. Her elementary school in Toma reopened nearly a week ago. Let's take another call now. Matt is with us from Viroqua. Hi, Matt.
Hi. So there's lots of places all over the world that are sending kids back to school right now, but most of those countries seem to have gotten the COVID outbreaks under control. I just saw this morning when I was looking at my phone, listening to the show, headline in the La Crosse newspaper, Toma School District reports potential case of COVID-19 apparently at this school. And your principal said that only 20% of kids were wearing masks. And I'm just wondering, why is the school district not requiring every kid to wear a mask? It's almost like herd immunity and vaccinations. If one out of five kids are wearing those masks, they aren't going to do much good at all. So why can't the school, if you're choosing to have in-person classes, mandate the use of masks?
Matt, thank you for that. And Nikki, number one, please address the suspected positive case for COVID-19 and then the mask issue as well.
Sure. So first, we did have a situation where a student was exposed to someone that had tested positive and had displayed symptoms. So they were asked to go in and be tested from the health department. From those measures, we took the guidance from the Monroe County Health Department and asked any children that were within their proximity to quarantine. The health department actually took the lead and contacted those families. In regards to the use of masks, we listened to our families who overwhelmingly were contacting us, asking us not to require masks for their children. I'm not to say that at some time we won't get to the point where masks are required. At this point, from what the health department has shared with us, it wouldn't have changed whether those students were quarantined or not. The idea was to mitigate exposure.
So the children who are quarantining, but what about that teacher who is in that classroom?
So those teachers are teaching virtually right now. So they will be teaching from home into their classrooms. and then we'll have until results come back or we decide how that best practice has to move forward for them.
And how long will that last?
Depending on the results that come back, if it continues at the quarantine is that 14-day period, then that would be the expectation. We would, follow what the health department is asking us to do. And if not, then they would be back in front of their classrooms.
Let's bring in Beth now, joining us from Pewaukee. Hi, Beth.
Hi. First of all, thank you for all the work that you're doing around opening your school. I know it's not an easy task by any means, so we all appreciate your efforts and for coming and talking to us all. I just have a question around temperature checks. Are you doing temperature checks at school, or are our families doing them at home?
We are not doing temperature checks at school. Any of those well-being or healthy children checks we're encouraging families to do, especially if they don't feel like their child is feeling very well, not to send them to school if they have those suspicions, but we are not requiring a temperature check at school.
Beth, thank you for the call. Amanda now in Milwaukee. Hi, Amanda. Are you there, Amanda? Nope. Okay. How about Rita in Green Bay? Good morning, Rita.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to appreciate the struggle that this school has had to wrestle to get children back into school. Thank you. It is a tough time, but I appreciate your ability to move forward, to make the tough decisions. Children need their teachers, and teachers need their children. I have friends who are teachers. And I'm a grandma, and I know how much my grandson yearns to get back to school with their buddies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rita, thank you. And Nikki, do you hear echoes of that as you talk with parents, in terms of trying to reopen and have the kids in the classroom?
Absolutely. I know that you mentioned earlier about the academic slide to this, but even more so our concern is their social and emotional well-being. And how our students are handling this. You know, I have four children that are in this building myself, and I witnessed their struggle and their longing to be with their friends and needing to get back to some sort of normalcy where we were addressing their, again, their social and emotional, being able to have those interactions and what that impact is going to have on them.
You are a year-round school schedule. How are you approaching the learning loss? Your students aren't away from the classroom as much, but when was the last time they were in engaged instruction?
The last time would have been the second week in March.
Okay.
Because we were actually in intercession when the shutdown happened. So it would have been the second week in March, and we are just starting with our progress monitoring right now. To just get a handle on where our students are at coming into us, and then really just making the adjustments from there, meeting them where they're at.
We're talking with Nikki Pope, principal of Lemon Weir Elementary School in Toma. The year-round school reopened last week for in-person instruction. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Nikki, as you assess where students are at, where are they at emotionally? Because we've heard that there's going to be quite a bit of trauma as students reenter the classroom. They're very scared of the coronavirus.
I haven't really noticed them being scared of coming in. I would say they're very eager to be here. They're excited. You know, there were a lot of changes that were put into place. We're not letting them use the playground equipment, for example. They have to come in different entrances based on their transportation needs, and they have done an excellent job adjusting to those changes. You know, they've been very responsive to doing it because of they know that COVID-19 is there. The conversations are taking place within their classrooms, and what the virus is doing to our society, I guess, and the changes that need to be made in order to keep each other safe. They're being very responsive and respectful when being asked to do things differently and more frequently of washing hands, again, eating within the classroom. So we do have staff that are available. Our guidance counselor is taking extra steps to be prepared to talk to students if they are scared. But I really think that providing choice for our families, if we had a student that was really fearful to attend, their parents would have addressed that and provided another alternative for them, like our virtual option. So keeping in mind that we are a district that is looking to provide choice has been very helpful in order for us to address those needs.
Nikki, where is your tipping point? And by I mean by that is if you get a bunch of test results that come back positive this week, what will you do about the school?
That's a great question. We truly are figuring it out as we're going and waiting to see what, the response is. If it gets to a point where it's not manageable for us to be able to have in-person instruction, or our families are telling us that that's not the route that they would like to take anymore, then we will have to reassess to see how we are going to deliver instruction across all of our elementaries, not just in this building.
Do you feel like your school is equipped to turn on a dime here? You may not even have time to poll your parents.
Right. The benefit of what happened this spring was that we were forced to turn on a dime. You know, we were a district that adjusted immediately to provide the needs for our students and provide instruction. So even more so now, we have really hit professional development early on with my staff, with instruction on how they would use Microsoft Teams to deliver instruction virtually if that were to happen. All of our students are equipped with one-on-one devices at this time. So if that situation were to come up, I feel that we are more prepared now than we were in the spring. Certainly it'll be an adjustment and would be difficult to do, but I think that we would be ready to take on the challenge.
Nikki, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking. It's definitely an interesting time, but we really believe that we have an obligation to educate our children, and we're doing the best that we can to move forward.
Nikki Pope is principal of Lemon Weir Elementary School in Toma. The school runs year-round and reopened last week. Just ahead, we're 15 weeks away from the November general election, but in the 2016 presidential election, millions of Americans did not vote. We'll learn why. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.